Hello and welcome to Connections. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thanks so much for joining us on this Thursday. We have a great show planned for you today. Well, we'll deliver a great show, too. Joan Lovely, State Senator Joan Lovely, is joining us. Karen Carroll, Gloucester Public Health Director. And Dave Radigan is back with some news that some scams that are going on out there. One which is huge, I guess, around the country, but hasn't received a lot of news around here. But Rick, welcome. We are into summer now. They say Memorial Day is the unofficial start to summer, and it pretty much was the official start to summer, I guess, huh?
Weather-wise, yeah, it's been fantastic. Took a stroll on Good Harbor Beach in Gloucester about 5:30 last night, and the place was packed. However, the groups, I mean, there were groups of families and stuff. The groups were separated, but the kids, the high school kids, they were throwing the football around. They were congregating together, and you really, it's just hard to blame them. You know, they're out there and exercising, getting some air, and it was actually good to see. So I hope everybody, you know, stays healthy and nothing comes of this. But it was very pleasant. Weather is just terrific. Oh, and by the way, the Gloucester High School seniors will be having their car parade tomorrow around Cape Ann. So I guess they'll be starting at 8 o'clock in the morning from Stage Fort Park, and they'll be traveling through the city. So if you hear a bunch of horns honking and kids screaming and yelling, it's the Gloucester High School seniors letting it loose.
Oh, I thought when you said it before, it was phrased Gloucester seniors. I was thinking senior citizens, some kind of senior citizens parade. Gloucester seniors, I get it. All right, makes sense. Okay.
Well, the seniors, we seniors have been out there screaming too, but that's a different story.
Yeah, and when we lay on the horn from time to time, I suppose. Yeah. So
hey,
yeah.
Hey, one more. I didn't know my ears were so big. I forgot about that. I got my first haircut yesterday in 3 months. And that also was a pleasure, getting out a little bit different, sitting in the chair with, you know, a face covering on. But it was nice to get out, and that was a good sign. So hopefully better days are ahead.
Yeah, I noticed some folks at the beach, too. And, you know, I noticed a lot of, you know, some masks, a lot of folks, you know, are adhering to it. But you're right, some of the young people are probably not adhering to it as much. But they've probably been together, to be quite honest with you, you know, for months now. I'm guessing, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I may be wrong on that piece, but we'll see. And hopefully, you know, I'm not a scientist. I don't know this is a fact, but, you know, I do hear people talk from time to time that sunlight is a good thing for killing the virus, some viruses, not necessarily this one. I don't know that, but hopefully with the sun that we've been getting here the last few days, it can't hurt anyway, I hope.
You know, what's weird, Bill, is, you know, going out in the sun feels so good, but then the UV piles up over the years and it's dangerous. I don't understand that. Why, when something feels good, is it bad for you? You know, it's like having chips. You eat too many chips and it's not good for you, or fried foods. And I love fried foods and I love chips. I just don't understand this world. I just don't get it.
Well, it explains a lot, but I'm right with you there. Absolutely. I know. Well, I mean, I think maybe you could just turn that into a positive, you know, that to be healthy, avoid the sun, you know, or, you know, avoid the chips and the fried foods or whatever, right? That's the way it works, Rick, I guess.
I know. Sad but true.
Hard to follow. Okay, so just ahead, Senator Joan Lovely, Karen Carroll, and Dave Radigan, all here today on Connections. Senator Joan Lovely is joining us on the program, and Senator, welcome. Thanks for taking some time to join us.
Thank you, Bill. It's always a pleasure.
I know when we talked now weeks ago, unemployment was one of the big concerns that your office and all the other offices of state senators and state representatives were dealing with, and to some extent, unfortunately, that hasn't changed all that much, has it?
You know, Bill, it has not. If anything, that's the number one call we're getting into the office right now across all of the legislative offices, is people who are unemployed, need benefits, whether they've paid into the system or not. You know, so we've come up with both our regular unemployment system, but we also have a pandemic unemployment system now to respond to independent contractors and those people who wouldn't otherwise qualify for those benefits. And it's stressful. People are, you know, like I said, they're out of work and they're out of funds. And so they need to keep the roof over their head, food on the table. So we are assisting people. And, you know, the call center for unemployment went from a staff of 70 to a staff of over 700 to be able to respond to the over 1 million claims that have now come in. So we are being responsive and getting people answers so that they can get into the system and start getting some funds. Mm-hmm.
The what about at the State House itself? I know there's a bunch of bills and so on. Is there any updates on just general things? Not a specific bill as such, but bills, budget, all of that. What's the latest from the State House?
Sure. So just a couple weeks ago, the House and Senate passed a short-term borrowing bill that we sent up to the governor. And so we literally have to borrow to close out this year's budget, which ends at the end of June. And so we had to, that's about a $2.5 billion that shortfall that we, that the state government is experiencing in the budget. Not to mention what's going to happen next year. Now, the reason why we had that shortfall was because we weren't collecting meals tax and gas tax and all those taxes that would come in monthly. But the biggest was the income tax. We extended the income tax out to July 15th to mirror the federal government. Well, the federal government works on a different fiscal year than the state government does. So that left us with a shortfall. So we did the short-term borrowing bill, and we will repay that with those income tax returns that come in mid-July. You know what, we've done some other things. We did some eviction protections. People who are having difficulty paying their rent, we're not saying you can't pay your rent. You have to the best of your ability. But we didn't want landlords to automatically start eviction proceedings. So the message is, you know, pay your rent as best you can, but your landlord can't evict you not until 90 days once this pandemic is over. The emergency order is lifted. And we also did remote notarization. So we were running into a situation and where people were trying to do some estate planning. And because you have to sign in the presence of a notary and we can't be with each other, we were running into an issue. And we actually ran into a particular issue with a gentleman and wife and child who all ended up in the hospital with COVID. And he wanted to execute an estate plan from the hospital, and he couldn't do it because he did not. There was not remote notarization, so all turned out well for them, thankfully. But it's a dire situation, you know, when people want to be able to make some plans for the just in case. So we did that as well, and we also reduced the number of signatures required to get on the ballot this year because people were again not able to stand at the post office or stand in front of a supermarket to collect signatures to be able to qualify to be on the ballot. So that was reduced as well. And the SJC weighed in on that and made that equitable for everyone. So we've been very busy. We've been very responsive.
You know, exactly. The maybe a couple of other questions I have for you. One, reopening. Now, I got to believe you're getting it from both sides. We're not opening fast enough or maybe we're going too fast or whatever, but what are you hearing about reopening and how it's been proceeding and what's ahead?
So that's exactly right, Bill. You know, some people think too fast, some people think too slow, but you know, the governor and the administration and legislature, you know, are working in tandem, and legislature supporting the administration for this reopening plan, and it's really based on data and not dates. So the data that we're collecting is how many cases of COVID are positive today in Massachusetts, for example, how many deaths today. We're seeing those numbers come down. Those numbers have to consistently stay under 10% for, I believe it's 2 weeks, and more reopening will occur. So, you know, it's a very well-thought-out, methodical process to get to full reopening. And it's to make sure that we don't go through another surge. Because if we do, we will have to shut down the state again. And that will be even more devastating than it is right now. So we're just asking for people's patience as the reopening occurs.
The other thing I know you have coming up on Friday, the State Representative Jerry Parasella from Beverly is having a Beverly office hours. You're going to be doing the office hours with him, I understand?
So we are. So, you know, each legislator does office hours in some fashion. I do mine every Monday morning at a different senior center or at the Topsfield Town Library. as is Representative Paracella. I actually just did one of these last week with Representative Walsh from Peabody. And it was nicely attended. People from, you know, had all different types of questions. So we put that out there for a platform. You know, we asked people to sign up. We'll forward them the login information. And it's a Zoom meeting, so we can see each other and have a great conversation. So I look forward to doing that with Rep. Paracella and Beverly on Friday morning.
Yeah.
So to your listeners, please check out our Facebook page or social media, and we can get that link to you.
And we'll try to put that link up as well on our post here when this goes up. And anything else, Senator? I don't want to hold you too long. Anything else specific to your district or anything else I might not have asked you about?
You know, I just want to say how thankful I am to all the mayors and town administrator, town manager across the five communities that I represent. There's some really true leadership working with these, you know, these managers and mayors to really address what's going on in each community. Each community is greatly affected, some more than others, especially communities that have, you know, a number of nursing homes in the community. That's been particularly difficult, that our senior population has been so hard hit by this virus. But the leadership between, again, the administration, the city council, boards of selectmen, and school committees, just to keep the lights on and the power going. Everybody is working so hard. So I just want to say how grateful I am to everyone to partner with them at the state level to make sure that we're responding to this crisis.
Well, it's a lot of work, and a lot of work that I'm sure you wish you didn't have to do. In some regards, I get it, but you're there to serve and so on. So you got to do what you got to do. But man, what a couple of months this has been. So, but anyways, thanks so much for your time.
All right, Bill. Thank you so much too.
Yep. State Senator Joan Lovely from the North Shore here on Connections.
A daily news podcast for the North Shore. North Shore Today. North Shore Sports Night, Monday nights at 7, as we keep you connected with the North Shore.
Once again, my pleasure to be joined by the Gloucester Health Director, Karen Carroll. And Karen, welcome back. How are you this day?
Thanks, Rick. I'm good. It's a beautiful day out there. Yep, and I'm doing well. Thank you.
Well, we've had some good weather, and of course that has led to people getting outside, and it's rather a momentous week this week. Gloucester and other places opening back up, and maybe a little bit of an overview as how you things are going this week.
Good. You know, we opened up, as you know, the governor's office on the 18th opened some businesses with lots of rules and restrictions, but that seemed to go fine, and then this past, on the 25th, there were a few more things that were allowed to open. So again, we're seeing a little more movement, a little more activity. In general, it's going well. I mean, we still field a lot of questions, but we are really directing people back to the mass.gov website. And if you just Google mass.gov, there's a whole big tab called Reopening Mass or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's extremely helpful. There's all kinds of resources there for whatever business. If you're a pet groomer or you're a golf club or whatever your thing is, there's lots of information for each of the industries that's been allowed to open. And again, I want to remind people, there's no inspection. You just, when it's your turn to open, when the governor's office says your business can open, you go, there's a checklist that you go through yourself, and you self-certify that your business is COVID-ready and safe and has gone through all the protocols and ready to open, and you open up. And just, you know, make sure your customers are complying as well. But most people are. They're thrilled to be able to get their hair cut or play some golf. And so we're finding that people are complying. No one wants to go backwards. So in general, I would say it's going well.
I noticed a couple of things. We went to a box store. I won't mention the name. Over the weekend, just wanting to get out. And it was open at one of the malls. And it was very, for want of a better word, untidy. There were a lot of, it looked like a wreck, you know, like it had been the victim of a storm. And the social distancing wasn't what I would expect. It wasn't what it is in Gloucester when you go to a grocery store, on the one hand. On the other hand, you know, clerks were wearing masks and everybody inside was. But also, I got a haircut today locally in Gloucester. And the difference was astounding. I mean, most definitely there was social distancing. There was only one. There were two chairs in the place that were open, and they were far apart from each other. Just two customers in the establishment, and you know, the people, the owners, taking this very, very seriously. So, on the one hand, it seems like you can relax a little bit too much, but then on the other, certainly owners are taking care of business.
Yeah, I think they really are. And I think the reopening task force has been just fabulous. It's people from the community, and it's, you know, the Chamber of Commerce has great networks and outreach, and they're letting people know as soon as there's guidance that comes up on the website, they're reaching out. So we're trying to give our businesses as much information as soon as possible. And then there's things that open up that, you know, we weren't even aware they were coming. Small things like outdoor yoga classes, those sorts of things are allowed. And there was a notification that came out on Monday from the Department of Public Health. So as soon as we hear those things and get that guidelines, we're getting them out to any businesses that might want to do outdoor classes, and so that they can open up and do that safely. And I think you're right. We have a lot of communication happening with our businesses in the community, thanks to the reopening task force and all the members on it who are busily, you know, thinking, okay, who needs to know this information, and getting it to that business leader or that agency. So, yeah, you know, I'm happy to hear that your experience so far in Gloucester has been good. We opened the beaches, as you know, on Friday. It was a warm day with some limited parking. And, again, focusing on the high-risk areas, making sure those bathrooms are really tidy, making sure there's one way in and one way out, making sure that the lot attendants who might be speaking to patrons arriving at the beach have face coverings so they're protected. And, you know, those are the main risk spots. The outdoor activities are very safe, you know, pretty hard. There aren't a lot of cases of transmission that occurred outdoors. So, again, we really want to focus on the inside, the spots at the beach where you go inside a bathroom or a concession stand, and make sure those are safe. But otherwise, you know, it was good to see people safely out and about. And keeping setting up their blankets at a nice distance from others, at 12 feet roughly. So in general, I think it went really well.
I agreed, and I'm happy about that. It's great to get out and be able to go to an establishment. This may be a little premature to ask this question, but is there any ongoing discussion or any probe about how long this can be sustained? And when I say this, I mean people staying indoors, doing the social distancing, keeping face masks on, because of the, you know, it's not the norm, if you will. People are still nervous. Any discussion about what benchmarks need to be met before this thing, you know, finally relaxes even more?
I'm going to be the bearer of, like, probably not the best news, but I think we can't really totally relax until we have a vaccine and we're able to keep people safe from getting it, kind of like the flu. It's community, it's in our community, it's in all our communities, and we've gotten this nice reprieve. We've seen the data come down, and that's largely due to the stay-at-home order the governor passed that had the desired effect that it needed to eventually, you know, took some time. We imagine that we'll see a little bit of a spike this summer as people reopen, but provided there isn't a huge spike, we'll go to the next level. But the expectation through all of the phases, phase 1, 2, and 3, actually I think our governor has 4, is that we're going to have to wear these face coverings and we're going to have to try to stay the 6 feet apart. Now, I do know it's human nature, that it's hot. There will be times when, and all of us, will let down our guard a little as we see less people dying, less people flooding hospitals. There'll be less, and it's just human nature. We'll all probably be not as good about all those things that we've been really, really good about through the last couple of months. So, you know, it's just about trying to remind yourself the disease is still here. We're going to probably get a reprieve because we're outdoors more. But what we're concerned about is, you know, if people are out and about too much, and as shops and indoor places start opening where transmission is more likely to occur, libraries, senior centers, town halls, restaurants, you know, all of those places, we're going to start to see more transmission. So we just want to remind people that until we really remove this disease from our community through a vaccine or herd immunity, this is kind of the way of, it's the way it's got to be for a little while. To just keep that face covering. And we know that if most people wear face covering and practice good hygiene most of the time, that would actually reduce the transmission in a community. So you can almost eliminate it, and there are communities in parts of the world that have. So that would be our ideal goal, but, we who knows if we'll see that until the vaccine.
I got to tell you, Karen, you sound like all of the wonderful nurses that I've ever come in contact with, and so I appreciate that, and I appreciate the insistence on patients do what you're supposed to do. So I get that. Let me find a final question. On the Gloucester-MA.gov website, there's plenty of information on the Gloucester City COVID-19 updates. But again, you mentioned a website about masks. Could you mention that one again, please?
The mass.gov. I thought you said masks. Sorry. Mass, M-A-S-S.
Oh, mass. Okay. I thought you did say mask. Okay. So it's mass.gov.
So
okay.
It's mass.gov, but they do have a portal on there for masks.
Okay.
Face covering. So there is a great portal for businesses who might be trying to secure PPE for whatever the checklist tells them they need. Then there's also this a portal that they can go into, and they can say, where can I source a mask or face coverings or gloves, or, my business needs a face shield. Where can I source that? So it's great. We're really thrilled with the work that the statewide reopening task force out of the governor's office did, because it's taken a huge burden off of us locally. We were trying to help each business find PPE, find the appropriate level of PPE. We didn't want that to be the thing that held them up in opening. So, it's taken a lot of that work off of us locally, which we really appreciate, and hopefully it's made it easy for businesses to find out what they need, get it, and get open safely, and stay open safely. That's the thing.
That is Karen Carroll, the Gloucester Public Health Director.
Joining us, Dave Radigan here on Connections. Dave, welcome. Good to see you again.
Hey, Bill. Good to see you.
Well, we've made it to another week. What is this, week 12, week 10, week 9, whatever, of our COVID-19 isolation here. And we've got the hot, warm weather this week and whatever. But, Dave, you have some you got something to plug this week?
Yeah, I do. Dave Radigan, COVID Variety. I just I put together a couple of shows, and we put them on YouTube. And we've got two on there now, and we've got two more that hopefully will go up this weekend. And I'm basically putting it on YouTube. It's called Dave Radigan, COVID Variety. And it's basically three little mini shows in which I take things that I thought were pretty creative and pretty interesting and either funny or really good musically. And I curate and host a short show featuring three of these videos in every episode, and usually there's a comedian doing something creative, and then usually there's something else. I got a stunt school from France, and I got a choir from London, and I got people from California and obviously all over the New England states. And it's a cute little break. And it's, as you know, a lot of people, when they've been stuck inside, they've had to get creative, and they've tried to basically keep themselves in their public's eyes for their fans. And some people have just done creative things. So I kind of mashed this into one show, and it's pretty good. So you should check it out. Dave Radigan, COVID Variety on YouTube.
Got it. We'll try to see if we can get a link up there to that as well, or put a note up there on the Connection show as well.
Excellent. And you can also get it on Facebook at Dave Radigan or at Scamps Comedy. That's the name of my company, Scamps Comedy. And but we're not here to talk just about that, although I do appreciate that you may let me do the plug. But we're talking about, or what I've got is, and I don't know, this is sort of an underreported story, I think.
So we should just say this is, for us on the North Shore, I think this is breaking news. This is real breaking news. But go ahead, Dave. I just want to preface it.
Okay. In that case, in Washington State is where it started and where most of this is from, the epicenter, but it has reached Massachusetts. And basically, there's been fraud in the unemployment system. And in Washington State, the official number was 1.6 million, but there are indications that it could get into the hundreds of millions of dollars taken from the unemployment system by people who basically a West African fraud ring has gotten in there and filed claims using stolen identities with money going to bank accounts that don't match the identities. And it was sort of this perfect storm of government responding to a real human need and getting the money out as quickly as they could or as quickly as it could. And unfortunately, it wound up going to the wrong place. And these this fraud ring basically has taken hundreds of millions of dollars from Washington State unemployment and frauds. They call them fraudsters. Fraudsters, they're similar incidents in Ohio, Hawaii, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Rhode Island, Wyoming, Maine, and unfortunately, Massachusetts.
When you say fraudsters, Dave, I think of a frolic, light, kind of lyrical or whimsical kind of characters, fraudsters. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like
pranksters. Yeah.
Pranksters, fraudsters. You're right. It doesn't sound like it's all that. It sounds whimsical almost, except for the fact that obviously, what a horrible thing to do because this is. You know, you have a lot of crime that you think, well, you know, who's really affected? But in this case, it's affecting us. And that is always something that makes everything worse to me is if it might affect me. And as you know, we've got everybody in Massachusetts, or not everybody, but a lot of people in Massachusetts, either they're on unemployment, they're thinking about going on unemployment, they're just off unemployment. And it's all because of these fraudsters. It's like, can you imagine like you, and they've got to be doing well, by the way. I mean, think about this, West African ring of, called Scattered Canary. There's actually a name and they've named it Scattered Canary. And I think the idea of it was if they get the wimpiest name, there'd be, maybe they'd get people less likely to want to join in or something, but, the Scattered Canary is behind it. And, yeah, and they're fraudsters. Just as you say, the whimsical fraudsters have stolen hundreds of millions of dollars, and it's alarming.
Well, you know, it's funny that it was Washington State where they had that senior citizens home with the outbreak of the coronavirus first, now months ago, and we had all those deaths there at that one facility, and now these fraudsters target Washington State, so to speak. And now apparently targeting many other states as well at this time.
Right. And it's really funny because if you look at it from a, you know, people, again, I'm on social media a lot and I see people, you know, this is a deep state thing and, you know, you want to wear a mask. If you don't wear a mask, you're not a free American and, you know, all this, nonsense that isn't following the science. But if you think about it, it's like First, we're going to release an illness across the entire country. Then, at the end, we're going to steal the money from the unemployment. It sounds like a James Bond theme. And they say, and then in the middle, we're going to release murder hornets. So I think that whoever's come up with this plan, whatever super genius came up with this, it certainly, as a... If you're a conspiracy nut, you want to jump on that now because then you could be the first in your neighborhood to have that as a conspiracy.
You know, I yearn for the days when one of our biggest threats and crimes were just people swiping Christmas packages off your doorstep during the holidays.
Yeah.
Those were the good old days.
Good old days, 2019. Those were days we missed. And you could combat that. I mean, who can combat... I guess one way that they found out about this is that they've had people who basically, you know, their bosses get a notice saying, "Is this person unemployed?" They say they've lost their job, and they write in. They say, you know, nobody's lost their job here, but you know, if somebody steals a package off your doorstep, there's all kinds of things you can do. You could do explosions. You can do poop. You can put poop in a box and just wait for the thief to open it.
You think like a West African there, Dave.
I think actually I read about somebody doing that, and that's how I know about it.
Oh.
But
That's where the crime ring is, folks. The crime ring we're talking about is based out of West Africa. I want to make sure that's clear.
Yeah, I heard Nigeria, but now they're saying West Africa. Of course, I haven't got the map. Maybe Nigeria is in West Africa. Who knows? My African geography is as bad as my Middle Eastern geography. You ask me where the Middle East countries are, you know what I would say, Bill? I'd say they're in the east and the middle.
Yeah, little to the Middle East. Yeah, not to the west. You know, east of the west. Yeah, sounds like that could be a song too. All right, Dave. I think we've this is just something to watch. You know, not that we don't have enough to worry about here nowadays, but you're right. I mean, this is going on, and I'm guessing that it's under the so-called radar screen here, and it's happening up to a lot of people, and they don't even know it yet. To be quite honest with you.
I think that, hopefully they'll find a way to stop it, and they'll stop it soon. I know in Washington State they had to stop unemployment checks going out for 2 days to kind of check their security, and hopefully they came up with it. But they say basically it's just, like I said, it's got that perfect storm. You know, a lot of people in need of money, government trying to respond quickly, which is not always the case with government. And as a result, these people were able to weasel their way in. Hopefully Massachusetts doesn't get hit that badly. And hopefully nobody else gets hit. Hopefully it stops here. But man, what a hit.
Well, Dave, you usually bring us some good news, but today I'm not sure you did, to be quite honest with you, other than this YouTube thing you got going on. That's terrific. But these fraudsters, not so cool. Yeah.
I guess you're trying to balance it. Yeah, I haven't really balanced it today.
Okay. And do that in the future. Well, actually, you know, let's just be positive in the future from now on. Let's just knock this stuff out, Dave. Whatever. All right, Dave, always good talking with you.
All right. You want to know the positive part, Bill?
Yeah.
There's more to life than money. And money's not going to make those West Africans happy.
Yeah.
Those fraudsters.
There's more to life than money, but direct deposit doesn't hurt. There he is, Dave Radigan, with us here on Connections. We want to thank our three guests for joining us today on the program. We started off with Senator Joan Lovely. We had Karen Carroll, the health director from the city of Gloucester. And, of course, just now Dave Radigan to talk with us on whatever. Obviously a serious matter with that scam going on. We'll be back again with you tomorrow for Connections. We've got a bunch of things planned for tomorrow's program. So check us out again tomorrow morning, just about 10 o'clock here on the website. It's a podcast. It's on demand. And we always do want to hear from you. You can email us at our email address, msonewsports@gmail.com. There's a contact link at the top of our webpage. So along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great Thursday, everybody.